Welcome back to our Tanakh Study Center series on Sefer Yirmiyahu. Today we're studying Chapter 16, Perek Tet Zayin. Our series is in conjunction with the OU and Esach Yomi project and sponsored with the help of the Cypress Foundation. As you may have noticed in the last several chapters of Yirmiyahu, it seems to be something like a broken record, where every chapter, Yirmiyahu continues to rebuke the people, predicting terrible destruction, telling the people there's almost no hope for them, and God intervening and reminding Yirmiyahu over and over again, don't pray for them, don't intervene in their behalf, nothing's going to help. Every once in a while, there's a reminder that true tshuva, sincere tshuva, a total turnaround, may be able to stop the destruction, but it seems to be that God's impression is nothing's going to help, and that people aren't going to change their ways. And as we mentioned many times, it seems like God's primary message to Yirmiyahu is things have to get worse before it gets better. The question is going to be, why do we need so many prophecies like this? Sometimes, the need for repeating something over and over again is because it's such a serious problem. The problem that Yirmiyahu is facing is so cardinal to Judaism, and it's so often misunderstood. His complaint to the people who think that they're fine, who are doing the ritual and think that that's all that God wants from them, and see no connection between their ethical behavior and their religious behavior, it sounds like we're repeating the same theme over and over again. When those themes are repeated, it's usually because it's a serious problem that seems to be typical of religious behavior. As we see our study of this chapter, we're going to try and emphasize this point and try to understand why is it that Yirmiyahu needs to repeat it so often. But we'll see some more examples in today's share. And also, we'll pay attention to how Yirmiyahu is using very key phrases from Chumash and applying them in his rebuke of the people. So let's begin with Pasuk Aleph. Perek Tet Zayin, Pasuk Aleph. Vayidbar Adonai Elai Lamor. Again, the word of God to Yirmiyahu, opening a new statement by God to Yirmiyahu. And if you think it was bad before, God telling Yirmiyahu not to pray for his people, here he seems to be telling Yirmiyahu not to fulfill a mitzvah d'oraita. Pasuk Bet. Lo tikach lecha isha, v'lo yu lecha banim uvanot b'makom hazeh. God tells Yirmiyahu, don't get married, and you shouldn't give birth to children, sons and daughters, in this place. We know there's a mitzvah pru urvu. By not getting married and not having children, you'll be giving a message to the people about how serious their situation is. This is the word of God about what's going to happen to the sons and the daughters who are going to be born in this place in Yerushalayim, and about their mothers who are going to give birth to them, and on the fathers giving birth to them in this land. Here's what's going to happen to them. They're going to die a grievous death. Lo yisafdu. There'll be so many dead people that there won't be anyone around to mourn them, to eulogize them. No one there to bury them. Ladomen al pnei hadamayu. They're going to be like dung on the face of the earth. Uvecherv uvarav yichlu. They'll be consumed by sword and by famine. Vaitaniv latam lemachal leof hashamayim ulevemata aretz. And their carcasses are going to be eaten up by the birds of prey of the heaven and of the animals roaming on the land. You couldn't even ask for a more severe description of destruction. This is what God again is telling Yirmiyahu in Pasuk Hey. Al tovo beit marzeach. Don't go to the house of the mourning. Don't make a shiva call, what we would say today. Ve'al teilech lispod. Don't go to eulogize anyone. Al tanud lahem. Don't bemoan them. Why? Ki asafti et shlomi. Me'et ha'am hazeh, num Adonai. I've taken away my peace from them. Et ha'chesed v'et ha'rachamim. God is no longer willing to invoke kindness and mercy and help them. God's making a very important point here, which can maybe help us understand why the need for this repetition. Over and over again, God has been warning destruction since the time of Menashe, as we mentioned in last week's shir, and even since the time of Ahaz, but especially since the time of Menashe, several decades already, God's been saying destruction is imminent. But what do the people see? At the end of the day, it never comes. God's warning, his prophets continue to warn that people have to do proper tshuva, but that destruction never comes. It sounds like a broken record. Why has God been giving them another chance? He's been kind to them. He's had pity on them. He's had what we call rachmanut. He's had mercy. And what's happening now, it's because of God's mercy, people are interpreting the lack of destruction as an understanding that they're doing fine. And here we're in a catch-22. God would love to have mercy on his people if by having mercy they would return to him. But if by having mercy and not bringing destruction, they're going to continue in their bad ways, they're going to continue to think that they're doing fine, if they're going to interpret lack of destruction as an indicator from God that their return to God is enough and their behavior is fine, he can't continue to have pity on them. He has to give them a punishment that they're going to wake up and learn their lesson. And therefore, God says here, tells Yirmiyahu, no longer will I invoke my attributes of chesed and rachamim. I did that over and over again. It's too late. I have to do something much more serious. And now he describes again how bad it's going to be. Pasuk Vav, verse 6. Umeitu gdolim uktanim ba'aretz hazot. Lo ikaveru. Old people, young people, important people. Everyone in this land is going to die and no one will be there to bury them. Lo yispedu lehem. Again, they won't be eulogized. Now pay careful attention to the words Yirmiyahu chooses. V'lo yitgodad v'lo yikareach lehem. These words should ring a bell to anyone who knows Sefer Dvarim. Again, I'll read them. V'lo yitgodad v'lo yikareach lehem. I'm purposely not translating the words yet because I want to read a pasuk in Parshat Re'eh, chapter 14 in the book of Dvarim, which opens up a beautiful section of laws in Sefer Dvarim. Banim atem l'Adonai Elohechem. You are like sons to your God. In other words, the relationship between God and His people is like a parent-child relationship. Remember on Rosh Hashanah, we say, Im kabanim, im kavadim. Either treat us like your child or treat us like servants, but either way, have mercy. But because you're like sons to God, you're representing Him, you're like His family. Don't cut yourself or don't make yourself bald because someone dies. Now it seems to be, according to most commentators, there was a custom among the nations of Canaan that when someone died, they would cut their faces, they would do things to show mourning, they would shave their head, sometimes maybe even injure themselves. They would do something to show their anger and their displeasure with the fact that someone died. Most commentators explain that this was a very un-Jewish custom. The Torah prohibits this mutilation of oneself in mourning, and commentators like the Ramban explain that by mourning too much because of death is an indicator that a person doesn't believe in the world to come. It's okay to mourn and show grief, but when mourning catches a person in total despair, may reflect the lack of understanding of a belief in God and in the world to come. Either way, Chumash is telling Am Yisrael, when it comes to mourning, not to lit goded and not to put korcha barosham. So on the one hand, they're fulfilling a mitzvah by not doing that. On the other hand, because their customs are so non-Jewish, that's what they would have done when people died. I think Yirmiyahu was intentionally referring to these psukim in Sefer Dvarim. We mentioned in our study of earlier chapters that often Yirmiyahu is going to invoke imagery from the book of Dvarim, hoping that the reader will find a connection and thematically connect between his prophecy and the topic in Sefer Dvarim. If you want to understand what the topic in Sefer Dvarim is, it'll fit beautifully to the theme that we've been discussing. In the next pasuk in Sefer Dvarim, it says in pasuk Bet, Ki am kadosh ata l'Adonai Elohecha. You are a holy nation to God, a designated special nation. That's exactly the phrase from the covenant in Har Sinai, Batem tiulim amechet konim v'goy kadosh. And Sefer Dvarim continues to explain, Uvecha bachar Adonai lo la'am sgula mikol amim asher al pnei adamah. God chose you to be His treasured nation, to serve Him, for He to be your God, and you to be His people among all the nations on the face of the earth. In other words, God chose you to represent Him. That's the phrase, not only of Brit Sinai, but also of Brit Milah. The key element of the covenant between God and His people is that God wants a nation that will represent Him. For that reason, we get so many laws. We have Torah mitzvot. It's how we represent God. Yirmiyahu's entire point is that in their day-to-day behavior, they're not acting in a way that makes God look good. They're not keeping the ethical laws of the Torah. They're also following other gods. And even though they're coming to the Beit HaMikdash and performing all the ritual, and they think that they've returned to God, Yirmiyahu claims over and over again, you're not doing it properly. By using these two key words from Sefer Dvarim, it brings us right back to the theme of chapter 14 in Sefer Dvarim. And if we want to connect this to the opening psukim of this nevuah, when God tells Yirmiyahu, don't give birth to children, He says, don't get married. He says, lo tikach lecha isha, v'lo yu lecha banim u'banot b'makom hazeh, saying, you don't give birth to children. We're hinting here to exactly the theme of Sefer Dvarim, where God views His people as His children. And when behavior of a child is so bad that the parent wants to send the child away and can no longer tolerate his disruptive behavior, we've reached a situation where something drastic has to be done. Let's continue now in Perek Tet Zayin. Pasuk Zayin, verse 7. V'lo yifrisu lehem al evel l'nachmo al amet. They won't cut bread, means they won't have a meal when the mourner comes home after the funeral, called a Sudat Avra'ah. God's telling Yirmiyahu, don't participate in that as well. Don't give them a drink of comfort. Again, part of the meal when someone comes back after a funeral. Alaviv Yalimol, for his parents. Now, he's telling Yirmiyahu on the one hand, there'll be so much death that people won't be able to do that. He's also telling Yirmiyahu, don't even bother with it, because it's all a lost cause. And then he says the opposite in Pasachet. Don't only not go to the house of mourning, Also, don't go to a party as well. Don't go to a Beit Mishteh. And don't sit with them to eat and drink. Why? Now we have a famous pasuk, which we sing the opposite at weddings. Pasuk Tet, verse 9. I'm going to stop from this place. And during your days, meaning very soon, no longer are we going to hear in Yerushalayim the merriness and happiness of a wedding of a chatan and kala. We all know the prophecy of comfort that later on Yirmiyahu will say, once again, the sound of happiness of a chatan and kala will be heard again. Here's the first time when it's mentioned that now it won't be happening. Now notice, how did God begin this nevuah to Yirmiyahu? He tells Yirmiyahu, don't get married. And don't give birth to children. And now, in the content of the nevuah, he's returned to both these themes. A, about comparing the relationship between God and his people to one of a parent-child relationship. And here, how things are so bad that the father will no longer tolerate the behavior of the son. And also, imagery from a wedding, no longer will there be the happiness of a marriage ceremony in the outskirts of Yerushalayim. Pasuk Yod, Vayaki tagid la'am hazeh et kol hadvarim me'ele. And it will come to pass when you tell this message to the people, the people aren't going to like hearing this at all. These words that Yirmiyahu are saying are very harsh. V'amru elecha, what will be the response? Amedi ben Adonai aleinu et kol ha'ra ha'gdola hazot, u'ma'avoneinu, u'ma'chatoteinu, asher chatanu la'adonai aleinu. Because why is God saying these terrible things about us? What's our sin? What have we done wrong? How have we sinned in front of God? Again, what do we see? The people don't see that they're doing anything wrong. We've discussed this topic over and over again. Yirmiyahu is telling them, Yirmiyahu is describing their behavior as disastrous, and the people think they're doing fine. And that's why the only way we've been able to solve this problem is to identify that the people think they've returned to God, especially in the sense of ritual, in their prayers, and their offering of sacrifices, and coming to the Beit HaMikdash, their day-to-day behavior remains to be despicable, to the point that God describes the worship of God as idol worship. As we'll continue to say now, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'amarta lehem, here's what you tell them, Al asher azvu avotechem otinu madunai. Your fathers have left me, God said. Ve'achu achrei elohim acharim, they followed other gods. Ve'avdum ve'eshtachavu lehem, they served them and they bowed down to them. V'oti azavu, v'toroti lo shamaro. They left me and they didn't keep my Torah. V'atem, you, not only your parents' generation, v'atem hari'otem lasot me'avotechem, and you're worse than their parents' generation. V'inchem ochim ish achrei shirut libo hara, each one's going off to the own ways of his heart, not wanting to listen to me. Again, this phrase Shrut Lev, which Yirmiyahu has said many times, also brings us back to the book of Sefer Dvarim. Recall from Perek Chavtet in chapter 29 in Dvarim, where we have a ceremony before Moshe Rabbeinu's death and before Am Yisrael enters the land of Israel, we reestablish the covenant. As we say in chapter 29, Pasuk Yud Bet, Laman akim otcha hayom la'am, v'hu yeh lecha l'Elohim kasher diber lach, v'cher shenishba l'avotecha. In order to establish you as a nation representing God, as He promised your forefathers. Not only with this generation, this covenant is for all generations. That's why it applies to the time of Yirmiyahu as well. And then he says, as he continues in Pasuk Yud Zayin, Penyesh lechem ish o isha o mishpacha o shevet asher levava ponah hayom mimadunai Eloheinu lelecha lavod et Elohei Hagoyim Hayim. What's Sefer Dvarim talking about? Exactly this phrase of Shrirut Lev that Yirmiyahu repeats over and over again. We're talking about the understanding of an individual or a family or even an entire tribe who thinks that they can break off from this covenant. They don't see the responsibility to the covenant. They think it's a question of choice. I don't have to represent God. If I want to, I have the option. If I don't want to, I have the option not to be part of this covenant. And God reiterates that the covenant at Har Sinai applies to all generations. And a person can't say, I don't want to be part of it. And the people think that they have the right to break out of the covenant. Most likely, this understanding stems from the people's thinking that God has abandoned his side of the covenant because he hasn't been saving them from their enemies. And they're losing in battle. And their situation is difficult. They see that God has abandoned them and isn't keeping his side of the covenant, and therefore they think that that gives them the right to abandon their side of the covenant, and hence their commitment to all the laws of the Torah is now lacking. Let's continue once again back with Yirmiyahu. We just read Pasuk Yud Bet. that now this generation is worse than the parents' generation, they shouldn't think it's only because of the sins of Menashe. The decree of destruction began in the time of Menashe. But you, even though you think you're doing better than the time of Menashe, you say you're doing worse. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Ve'tauti etchem me'al ha'aretz hazot. I'm going to cast you away from this land. To where? Al ha'aretz asher lo yedatem atem ba'avotechem. To a land that you and your fathers never knew. I'm sending you to a foreign land. Ba'avadetem sham et Elohim acherim yomam v'laila. There, you're going to serve other gods. You'll be under other people's jurisdiction. You have to serve them. Asher lo aten lechem chanina. Because now I'm not going to forgive you. This time the punishment is coming and it's final. And now we're going to have one last explanation in this chapter by Yirmiyahu to understand what's the purpose of this exile and why it's necessary. Pasuk Yedalet. Lachen, hinei yamim ba'im numa Adonai. Time will come. V'lo yeyamer od chai Adonai asher ala et b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. Ki im chai Adonai asher ala et b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Tzafon mikol harsot asher hidicham shama v'ashivotim al admatam asher natati lavotam. No longer are they going to talk about the God who took Am Yisrael out of Egypt and brought them to the land in the time of Yahushua. Rather, they're going to talk about the God who put them into exile, into Babylonian exile, and brought them back from Babylonian exile. What's going on? The Navi isn't saying that no one will talk about Yetziat Mitzrayim anymore, that the story of the Exodus won't be remembered. We'll continue to celebrate the Seder and tell the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. But the Navi is comparing the exile to Bavel, which is about to happen, to our slavery in Egypt. And if you recall, in your study of Chumash, there was a reason why God sent Am Yisrael into Egyptian slavery. We were supposed to learn from that experience. We went through terrible suffering in Egypt, and when we come out of Egypt, we get a set of laws where we're constantly reminded, be nice to the stranger, be nice to the orphan and the widow, be nice to the downtrodden, and remember, you were once a slave in Egypt. Our suffering is supposed to be a type of rehabilitation where we learn to resensitize our values and our ethics. And we're supposed to learn from that suffering what it's like to be downtrodden. And then when we come back and become a nation, we're supposed to translate that national suffering into an event which we can learn from and build from. God is coming to explain that when Am Yisrael goes into exile now, they're supposed to see that as rehabilitation. They shouldn't understand that the God has left them totally and they're never going to come back again. God is saying, I'm sending you for retraining. If we compare this to, let's say, a case of therapy, someone's behavior is terribly bad. So we can either do in-house rehabilitation, where someone comes to visit and hopefully solve this problem without having to institutionalize the patient. But if the patient is not willing to go through in-house treatment, his situation might be so bad that we have to send him to an institution for treatment. And here God's saying, I gave you the option of in-house treatment. You haven't accepted that. You haven't listened to your prophets. Now I have to send you to an institution. I have to send you out of your home. You have to go into exile. They're not going to retrain you. You're going to learn the hard way. Ultimately, you'll return. But unfortunately, you're going to have to suffer very severely in order to learn your lesson. So again, we're seeing the same theme over and over again, where Yirmiyahu has to explain to the people, why is it that God no longer will have pity? Why there needs to be exile? It's because this false repentance has happened so many times over and over again. People can't seem to get it right. God says, now I need to do something drastic. And now he's going to talk about again, how terrible this punishment is going to be. Pasuk Tetzayin, verse 16. Hineni sholeach ledayagim rabim numa Adonai v'digum. I'm going to send a lot of fishermen and they're going to fish you. Obviously, we're not talking about real fishermen. We're talking about the enemy is going to come and fish us out of the land. V'achrechen, after the fishermen are finished with you, eshlach rabim tzayadim. I'm going to send hunters. V'tzadu me'al kol har u'me'al kol giva u'me'nikikei haslaim. The fishermen are going to come and take the people out of the city. But there's going to be people who ran away from the city. When the war would be going on, people would run away and hide in the mountains. Then God says, I'm going to send in the hunters, and they're going to go and find you in every high place and behind the rocks that you may be hiding in. Meaning, no one is going to get away from this punishment. And now he explains why again. Pasuk Yitzayin. Ki einai al kol darchechem. God's eyes, God's saying, I've been watching all your ways. Lo nistru milfanai. You can't hide them from me. The people again think they're doing fine, but God sees how they're acting when they leave the Beit HaMikdash. He sees how they're acting at home. V'lo nitzpan avonam mineged enai. Their sin cannot be hidden from my eyes. V'shilamti rishona mishne avonam v'chatotam. They're going to have to pay me back even double for all their sins. because they defiled my land. Their behavior made God look bad. We call that a chilul Hashem. Their defilement of the land by their behavior is causing God to bring this punishment. They filled up my land, my nachala, with the carcasses of all their abominations. That seems to be the end of this topic. The last three psukim seem to be a different concept. Yirmiyahu says as follows. Adonai uzi umuzi umunusi biyom tzara. God is my refuge and my strength, and the person I run away to when I'm in trouble. Yirmiyahu is reiterating his faith and security in God. And then he talks about how God ultimately will prevail. Elecha goyim yavou me'afsei aretz. Ultimately, all the nations will come to you from the corners of the earth. V'yomru, what would they say about their own gods? Ach sheker nachalu avotenu. Our forefathers gave us gods that are false. Hevel ben ben mo'il. The gods, the nations are going to come and tell Hashem, ultimately to come to Yerushalayim and recognize that the gods that they've been worshipping are helpless and in essence have nothing. They're hevel. And he explains why. Hayaselo adam Elohim, can man make for himself a god? Behema lo Elohim. They're not gods. You can't just create a god. L'chein hinini modiyam. Therefore, I'm going to let them know. Papam mazot this time. Papam mazot odiyem et yadi v'tvurati. This time, I'm going to show the nations my hand and my strength. V'yadu kishmi Adonai. They'll know that my name is God. Now, what does this have to do with the punishment that Am Yisrael is getting? Recall again from Parshat Nitzavim, which we read before, the Psukim of Shru Lev. God also explains in Perachav Tet and Sefer Dvarim, should Am Yisrael become unfaithful in their covenant and think that they can break away, they may think they can break away, but they're still committed to the covenant. How is God going to prevent that? He's going to punish them so harshly that they'll learn the hard way. But then he says at the end of Perachav Tet something very interesting. Ideally, Am Yisrael should bring the name of God through its good behavior, by being a model nation, by keeping Torah and Mitzvot in every realm. If they do that properly, and thank God, and talk about God, and also act properly, then they'll accomplish their goal. But if they don't do that, God will have to punish them. But if they continue not to do that, if it becomes so bad, God's going to say, I'm going to fulfill the goal of my name being known to all the nations. I'm going to accomplish that same goal, but not by being good to you, but by punishing you. And listen to what God says in Perachav Tet, in Sefer Dvarim, in Pasachav Gimel. We're going to see exactly this theme of how the nations will come to recognize God, not through our good behavior, but exactly in the opposite manner. The other nations are going to recognize God in the severity of how God's going to punish us. This is a shocking thought, but pay attention to what Chumash says. V'amru kol ha-goyim, all the nations will see this destruction that God will bring on the land. And notice, he says, k'mapechad Sdom v'amorah admat tzvayim. Your destruction will be like the destruction of Sdom and Amorah. And recall, it's not just describing how intense that destruction will be, but also the reason for the destruction. Remember what Yeshayahu said, Ki stominu kamar deminu. Our behavior was like Sdom and Amorah. Remember Shimunak sinei Sdom, Azinu am Amorah, in chapter 1 in Yeshayahu. And then again, Vamru kol ha-goyim, Amesa Adonai kacha la'aretz hazot, Mechari af ha-gadol hazeh. The nations are going to say, why did God get so angry at this nation? They're going to see this destruction of Am Yisrael, and they're going to ask the question, why is God's nation being punished so severely? V'yamru, what conclusion will they reach? Al asher azvu et brit Adonai Elohei avotam. It's because they've abandoned the covenant of their God. Asher krati mam b'hotzi'otam eretz Mitzrayim. He made a special covenant with them when they took him out of Egypt. He's been taking care of their history. How can God's own nation abandon him? And they're going to say, the reason why this nation is being punished so severely is because they've abandoned their God. So in a roundabout way, God's name will be sanctified in the manner in which we're being punished. A chilling thought, but something we should pay attention to in Sefer Dvarim. Vayechu ve'abdu Elohim acharim ve'ishtachavu lehem. They went and they bowed down to other gods and served them. Elohim asher lo yida'um ve'lo chalak lehem. Gods who they knew nothing about, and God did not make them his inheritance. Vayicharaf Adonai b'aretz ahi, and therefore God got angry at that land. Lavi aleh et kol haklala ketuva b'sefer hazeh. And that's why God brought all this punishment on the land. Vayitshem Adonai me'al matam ba'afav chema uv'ketzef gadol. Vayashlichem ha'eretz acheret kayom hazeh. And they'll say the reason why not only this destruction happened, but why this nation was sent into exile and now serving gods in other lands, it's because they broke the covenant with the true God. In light of that response of God to this behavior of Shmuel Lev, which Yirmiyahu has talked about over and over again, it could be that these psukim, in the end of the parak, of Elecha goyim yavou me'asfei aretz v'amru ach sheker nachalu avotenu, the fact that through these events, other nations are going to come and recognize God and say, the God of Israel is correct, in a very roundabout way, God's punishment of Am Yisrael may be bringing the nations to recognize God. Again, this is a terrible thought, but something to think about, that no matter what we do, we bring God's name to mankind. Ideally, we should do it by our good behavior, but sometimes God will have to punish us so severely if we're not doing a good job, that the other nations will recognize God in the severity of our punishment, as opposed to recognizing God in our success and how we follow God. This theme will continue in Perek Yud Zayin in our shir tomorrow.